Judy was boring.
Hello.
Then Judy discovered Chumbacasino.com.
It's my little escape.
Now Judy's the life of the party.
Oh, baby, mama's bringing home the bacon.
Whoa, take it easy, Judy. The Chumba life is for everybody. So go to Chumbacasino.com and play over 100 casino-style games. Join today and play for free for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Chumbacasino.com. No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Hello, this is your podcast attendant letting you know that the podcast is about to depart. Before I continue my first ever journey through the Harry Potter series, just a few quick announcements. First, this episode is being posted as I am in Tennessee for PodX. Hey, Tennessee Mike with a worse microphone, how was PodX?
It was great.
Oh, that's great, Tennessee Mike. Did you meet a bunch of cool people?
I did.
Oh, that's so wonderful to hear. Did you eat a lot of fried chicken?
Had it twice, and every time I didn't eat fried chicken, I had barbecue.
Oh, wow. Classic Tennessee, Mike. In Tennessee, I was able to meet a lot of Potterless listeners and wonderful human beings. And if you want to be a wonderful Potterless listener slash human being that I get to meet, you should see Multitude Live. In June, we're going to be in Brooklyn. In October, we're going to be in Boston. In August, we're going to be in Orlando. There could be more things in the future. I don't know when you're listening to this episode, but you should head to multitude.production/live and check it out. I really would love to see all of you in the crowds at those things. I would love to meet you at meetups that we have, all sorts of fun stuff there. If you want any and all information, go to multitude.production/live. Also, this is the first episode of Potterless to be released in June. Here at Potterless, each month we donate $1 for every member of our team over at patreon.com/potterless. And at the time of recording, we have, Tennessee Mike, how many do we have?
776.
Patrons, wow, that's incredible. That means we will be donating
776.
Dollars to One Heart Worldwide. So given the Alabama and Georgia bills that are going through the United States Congress right now that are not great in terms of respecting women's health and their right to treatment, a lot of people were asking that I donate to a charity against these bills or in support of abortions, Planned Parenthood, etc. I wanted to avoid that just because these donations come from patrons. And I know there are people out there who don't support abortions at all, no matter what the circumstances. And if you believe that, that is your right to think that. So rather than support a touchy subject of a charity, I'm going with One Heart Worldwide, who is an amazing charity that has been doing great work for the past 20 years. Their mission is to end all preventable deaths related to pregnancy and childbirth worldwide, and their vision is to improve access to and utilization of quality healthcare services to reduce the risk of maternal and neonatal mortality in remote rural areas where mothers and their newborns are most vulnerable. So they do some really great work, and it's all just for keeping women and their children alive. Hopefully, keeping women and children alive isn't a hot button issue. So if you want to learn more about what they do, you can go to oneheartworldwide.org, and that is all spelled out with letters, no numbers. And what would a Potterless intro be without listing off our new patrons that have joined our team over at patreon.com/potterless, and to all the people who tell me to stop doing this in the beginning of episodes? No! So shout out to Megan Arenas, Amaranta Cecilia Zephyr, Christina Hall, Christy, Sarah Hughes, Jillian Clare, Hannah Silbau, and Tatiana, a name correction for Mladen Drabanyakovich, Ariel Rigdon, and Eileen Gazesh. Shout out to the return of former patrons Bugaboo and Sane Sutter, and shout out to our newest producer-level patron, Heaven. They join the ranks of Leanne, Vicky, Aaron, Jesse, Natalie, Clow, Frank, Marchismo, Samantha, Juan, Kieran, Abid, Rosemarie, Jill, Maria, Lisa, Romina, Camille, Russell, Dustin, Audra, Eleanor, Sydney, Billy, Rossanne, Nikita, Taylor, Ali, Amelia, Sean, Sarah, Ben, Rachel, Zachary, Orchid, Vivian, Takari, Haley, Moster, Pinky, Angelina, Ross, Marie, Alex, Brian, Caitlin, Mosin, Grace, Raul, Ingen, Mari, Brianne, Alexandra, John, Jen, Noel, Tau, Emily, Robin, Will, Liz, Mariah, Brandon, Sarah, Claire, Teal, Rory, Gloria, Sarah, Patrick, Alicat, Hallie, Veronica, Kevin, Lotta, Noah, Tracy, Carlos, Pam, Colleen, Jennifer, Friday, Ivor, Naomi, Tyler, Summer, Heather, Vera, Carrie, Andrea, Ella, Anthony, David, Elisa, Lynn, Cameron, Justin, Christine, Jacob, Toothless, Maya, Mark, Polly, Surgeon, Brittany, Nita, Tumnus, Remney, Matt, Sarah, Nona, Zena, Emily, Colleen, Harlan, Wouter, Sheldarp, Noelia, Addie, Brian, Washin, Jenny, Nikki, Kara, Dorcas, Courtney, Kine, Amanda, Sabrina, Alicia, Kafir, Lindy, Marta, Benjamin, Tajinder, Skymart, Sarah, Peter, Yash, Marta, Stephanie, Justine, Aaron, CJ, Eileen, Kate, Violet, Hannah, Kat, Lindsay, Elizabeth, Fielding, Stephanie, Keegan, Miranda, Gail, Mr. Folk, Heather, Adam, Jesus, Christina, Maya, Zachary, Kieran, Ariel, and Can't I Potter, who never forget to drink all of the water out of their water bottle before going through airport security. If you want to be like one of these amazing patrons and get access to bonus content, exclusive exclusive merchandise, exclusive live streams, my notes, you can head on over to patreon.com/potterless. But without further ado, let's get into episode 79 of Potterless, covering Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, chapter 29. It's the Portland live show, guest starring Multitude's own Kelly Beckman and Eric Schneider.
What's up, what's up, what's up, what's up? What's up, guys? Thank you so friggin' much for coming to Potterless Live! And thanks to Portland for having me! So, we are here for a very special occasion because, if you don't know, my name is Mike Schubert. I'm a grown man that has never read the Harry Potter series before. I'm a 27-year-old man. You might know that that's a little different. Today's a special day because... it's my birthday! Thank you so much! Just waiting on that 50-cent sound cue, which was key, but I'm not just gonna be talking about Harry Potter myself. I have some lovely guests to welcome to the stage, so please just give a huge warm welcome for the editor and co-host of Spirits, Eric Schneider, and a guest star on Potterless, the web designer, and my girlfriend, Kelly Beckman. Welcome, Kelly and Eric, to the stage!
Hello.
Thank you so much.
These are nice chairs.
Right? They're very comfy.
Kelly, could your feet touch the ground, Kelly?
That's how you know it's a good chair. So, we are going to be discussing chapter 29 of Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows, which is called The Lost Diadem, which I'm very excited about because I'm a big fan of the diadem. I've talked about it, me thinking that it's some sort of Horcrux. I'm very mad that Harry is not cool. glad the Death Eaters could make it. I think that I'm mad at Harry for not pursuing it earlier when Luna talked to him about it. So the first notes that I have right off the bat are yes, finally, exclamation point. So Harry is very confused to see Neville, especially the way that he looks, because as we've noticed and heard from the last chapter, he's got like long hair and he's got all sorts of like cuts and bruises and all this other stuff going on. He looks super rough.
Did you see the chapter illustration?
I didn't because I was audiobooking it. So if you could tell me what it looks like.
When I first read it and like the next like three times I read it, I thought he was moody because he's got like a black eye and then like a wisp of blood going like across his face. And so he looks like he's got an eye on him.
It's very Mad Eye Moody.
It's very grungy. Yeah. Like
he looks bad. Yeah. Much like Mad Eye Moody does at the end of book five.
Yeah, I am still not convinced that Mad Eye Moody is dead. I have no idea what's going to happen, but I think it's not. Also, can we turn my mic down? I feel really loud. if we can turn me a little, that'd be great. So Harry's confused to see Neville, especially the way that he looks, and they ask what happened to him as he points to his head, and Neville's like, oh, this is nothing. Seamus, this is worse. You'll see, come on.
too hype about the whole situation. It's like, yeah, I have gouge marks and I'm all scarred up and bloody and bruised. It's like, oh yeah, but another guy looks worse. Like, don't worry about me.
What? Well, yeah, you should see the other guy, our friend Seamus. Apparently they've been planning a whole bunch of stuff. I'm very excited because my thought is that Ginny has to be somehow involved, just because in my brain so far, while they haven't been at Hogwarts, it's just like Neville, Ginny, and Luna running the show. And to my understanding, based on what Neville says, it's pretty accurate. Which seems exciting. I'm just excited to get more Ginny because we've gotten like no Ginny. I think all she's done is like made out with Harry in the beginning of this book,
and that's it.
I mean,
which is good.
What better thing to do, right?
The other thing that I think is very funny is that the tunnel itself is above the mantle place, which just seems like an awkward thing to get
into
and out of.
How do they climb up there? Also, the fact that it's a painting, and that like we saw Neville come out of the painting and be a real person.
Right.
That was weird.
There's a pocket dimension in the painting, obviously.
Yeah. I don't know.
Which has like now extended itself all the way through wherever this tunnel goes.
Yeah, I'm very confused about the painting and painting dynamics. You read the painting thing on Pottermore, correct?
Yeah, I read it because we didn't know if it had spoilers or not.
I'm terrified of having spoilers.
It was actually a very short article, but like she answered a lot of the questions that you've asked about it.
Okay.
It's basically like an artist paints somebody and mm-hmm. they're supposed to capture with magic like their catchphrases or their general demeanor, and then that's what the painting emulates. So like Sir Cadogan is always asking to duel and like always like displaying bravery and stuff because that was what that person knew about him.
Yeah.
And that's what they painted. And then like the fat lady, you know, burst into tears because they knew she was very emotional. And
right.
so that's what they know about her. It was very spoilerless. You could probably read it if
okay.
you wanted to. But yeah, they are literally and metaphorically two dimensional. So...
Okay.
Yeah.
I don't know how Neville got in
but
there,
like,
but we'll
but how did Neville
later.
Get in there? In yeah, also in the Harry Potter Hogwarts Mystery game, the chapter that I'm on right now is like the curse is, sorry, spoilers if anybody's like not wanting
still
to hear
playing
my
that
still
game.
Playing that game.
How's Pokemon
like
Go
me.
Going?
Yeah, I'm still playing that game. It's like a chore that I play it now. I just want to know what happens.
That's what you want out of a video game, a chore.
But, like, the curse right now is that paintings are sucking real people into them,
mm-hmm.
and then they exist only in the painting.
Yeah.
So I'm interested to find out more about paintings from this game.
We'll have to see, but I'm not playing that game for a very long time. I got bored. So before they leave, Harry thanks Aberforth for saving his life. And Aberforth reminds him, yeah, I saved it twice. I don't know if I could do it a third time. So like maybe get your shit together.
Rude.
So they get into the passageway itself and it's an old passageway with stone steps and bronze lamps and it's super old school looking. And Ron asks how long it's been there because it's not on the Marauder's map anywhere. And Neville says that all of the Marauder's Map secret entrances have been sealed. Neville then asks if the Gringotts break-in and the dragon rumors are true, because apparently a lot of people have gotten wind of Harry and the squad just escaping from a vault on a very large blind dragon. Harry does confirm that they're true. Neville's very excited. And he asks what they've been up to, suspecting that it's more than just like being on the run from Voldemort. And Harry, he's like, yeah. But what's going on at Hogwarts, since Harry can't talk about it?
In true Harry fashion of yeah. not... talking about his emotions or his mm-hmm. feelings, he deflects it off to Neville.
Yeah, I mean, it's a natural thing. It's,
oh, yeah.
And he also, like, literally can't
that
talk
too.
About
yeah.
what he's doing.
Yeah.
He's just like, yeah, what's going on at school? And then Neville goes into the most bonkers story ever. He's like, yeah, Hogwarts isn't really the same. Have you heard about the Karrows? And Harry's like, oh, aren't they Death Eaters? And he's like, yes, but they've taken over the school. It's bad. So they're apparently in charge of all discipline, and they make Umbridge look tame. Amicus has turned Defense Against the Dark Arts class into just the Dark Arts class.
The Dark Arts.
Yeah.
Not good.
No.
Like, it's just like, that's not what you want to teach kids.
No.
Like, at all. Like, it's just like, I'm confused by, like, parents that are presumably getting letters from their children who are mm-hmm. at Hogwarts are like, yeah, so, we've killed some people today. It's like, maybe, like, they later will talk about, like, how they, like, torture, like, a first year, which is an 11-year-old.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, I don't know, maybe take your kid out of Hogwarts. I understand it's, like, the only wizard school around, but, like, why are the parents not, like, able to be like, you know what, maybe skip school this year.
They made
it's
it.
Cool.
They said at some point they made it, like, a law now that you have to go to school. Because it used to be that homeschooling and going abroad were an option. But now they're like, you have
I'm
to
I'm still
go
taking
to
my kid out of that school. I'm still taking my kid out of that school.
I also
I'm
like
at school now.
I like that you can take the name of Defense Against the Dark Arts and then just take off part of it and it's the opposite of what it's supposed to teach. I feel like that'd be like if there was a class like you have sex ed and then you just make it sex. It's like this class has dramatically changed.
Very different class.
So yeah, like you had mentioned, they're doing crucio on people that get detention. I like that detention stakes have gone really high where it's like, oh, you got detention. Polish some old plaques to, oh, you got detention, we're gonna do one of the three things you're not allowed to do legally to someone. The squad all says what at the same time, which I said while I was reading it. So I was like, what? And then the book was like, what? From everyone else. So I really like that note of it. And then Electo is teaching Muggle studies, saying that all Muggles are stupid and dirty. So this would just be, as I've mentioned in previous episodes of Potterless, as if like David Duke is teaching African studies class, like not a good choice for professor. So Neville apparently got a scar for asking how much Muggle blood that they've got in them, which is a very good diss.
Yeah, that's very, good. Very good.
And then Ron, who has no grounds to make this claim at all, says, Neville, there's a time and a place for having a smart mouth. Like, I'm sorry, Ron? Like, person that speaks up in class all the time and best friend is Harry Potter who constantly talks shit in class. Like, maybe not your point to say Neville should be looking out at what he says.
Also, like, at this point, it's very clear that Neville has become much harder than any of the squad.
Yeah. Right.
Like,
oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, it's like, hey, Matt, Ron, let him do whatever the hell he's doing because it's badass. Mm-hmm. This guy's going through some stuff.
Yeah, he's going through some stuff, and it doesn't end there. Neville defends himself, saying that, you know, no, it helps to stand up for them because it gives everybody hope. It's kind of like what you did, Harry, when Umbridge was the teacher and used to, like, make snide remarks in class. So he took a page out of Harry's book. And then Neville says the most badass line, where he states he knows that they're not going to kill him because everyone at the school now is a pureblood. So all they're going to do is torture us. It's fine. Which, like, who is this new Neville? I love him! Like, this is incredible.
This is something I've been waiting for you to get to for so long. Because yeah. Neville at the end of this book is just like a buck wild new guy.
Yeah.
Like as you've seen in the casting, like he goes from this like frumpy kind of guy to like the hottest actor in the entire series. You're like, oh, well, oh, and it works.
I heard, and I believe it's true, but didn't they put like bad teeth implants and like they had to do stuff to make
yes.
the actor was yeah. his name like Matthew Smith or something?
I don't know
the actor. Sorry? Matthew Lewis, thank you. They had to do a bunch of stuff to like make him ugly.
Yeah.
Which like highest compliment ever.
Yeah. Like,
sir, you are too attractive for this film.
Yeah.
Rather than do your makeup to make you look better, we're going to make you look uglier, please.
Yeah.
I also wonder if the casting director like saw him as he's going through puberty. He's like, son of a bitch. Supposed to be the ugly kid.
He also, like, when they were all climbing into the portrait, they point out that he helps Hermione in. He's, like, a badass now, but he's also, like, a true gentleman.
Yeah.
And he's no longer afraid of girls in the same way that, like, Ron kind of still is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, this, even before I read this chapter, I wanted the side story of what Neville, Luna, and Ginny did while the squad was away, like doing the Horcruxes. And now after seeing like badass Neville, like I want to see the transformation. Like I want to see Neville go from like, oh, I don't know, I'm afraid to like leave my room, to, oh yeah, they won't kill us, it's okay. So he says that the only people in real danger are those with friends and relatives acting up on the outside, citing that Luna got pulled off of the train coming back from Christmas because Xenophilius was too outspoken in the Quibbler. Harry says that she's all right. And Neville's like, oh, I know. We've been communicating with the Dumbledore's army coins. So Neville is just like 12 steps ahead of Harry Potter, which is fantastic.
Neville's like, we also have like all the Horcruxes. We're about to just destroy all of them, right? You just come over here. We got it done pretty much. What have you been up to?
The other thing that they're doing, which I love, and I don't know exactly how they're doing it, is that they've been using the coins to keep Dumbledore's army together. And apparently they've been graffitiing around the school saying like Dumbledore's army still recruiting. I want to know, is it like magic spray paint or are they like going to Michael's and buying?
I thought about that this morning and I hope to God it's just cans of spray paint. I hope it is just Mark Echo's getting up on PS2 but with wizard robes.
Yeah.
And it would be amazing.
I hope that it's either spray paint or like they have to take their wand and like the spell, you just have to like shake it and it makes that like.
And I, like you know what? I hope they're duct taping a can of spray paint just to their wand.
Now it's wizard spray
paint.
And then
they're magically pressing the spray paint down.
So he says that everything with Dumbledore's army got harder when with Luna and Ginny gone, since they were the co-leaders with him. And this is where I wrote in my notes, all caps, give me that spinoff. The Corots went hard on Neville because they suspected that he was behind everything. They also went hard on Michael Corner. He got like absolutely wrecked for releasing a first year from detention, meaning that they were about to get crucioed, which good job on Michael Corner. He's also had a big come up from like dumping Ginny because he lost a Quidditch match to saving an 11-year-old from getting tortured. So like he's had a good redemption arc as well.
Like, it was a nice break for this book to be not at Hogwarts, but at the same time, I want a book about what's going on at Hogwarts right now.
Yeah.
Everybody grew up real fast.
Like, right. I understand doing the Fantastic Beasts stuff, like, we get new characters or whatever, but, like, at the end of the day, Fantastic Beasts and Where to Find Them is about a dude who wrote a textbook. Like, do we really care? Like, he wrote a textbook. I don't need to see
I mean,
that.
Think about all your college professors you've had over the years and just be like, man, I would love a biopic about Professor Johnson. What was he getting up to when he figured out calculus?
Mm-hmm. So they did a bunch of underground stuff until the Death Eaters went after Neville's grandmother. And the squad and me all at the same time again said, they what? And Neville says that they underestimated Grandma Longbottom's abilities and that apparently Dawlish is still in St. Mungo's and now Grandma Longbottom is on the run. I also want this spinoff book. So after catching them, the squad all up to speed, they finally get to Hogwarts. And the room is full of happy students, and there are hammocks, there's tapestries, there's crests. And I want to make sure I didn't miss this detail. It's all the crests except for Slytherin,
right? That is correct, yes.
So there's no Slytherins there.
No.
So there are no good Slytherins.
None. Not a one.
Right?
Yeah.
You can imply.
Like, wait, who? What? Not zero. Like, zero. They're all racist. Everyone. It's ridiculous to me. It's bonkers. Like, so far for good Slytherins, we have Tonks' mom, who we learned nothing about just that she doesn't suck, and, like, Regulus Black, who was a Death Eater until the very end, and then, like, I guess Snape, but I'm 30 chapters through this book, and he still sucks. He's got to do something real good to get Harry's kid's middle name. Like, what does he do? Don't tell me, obviously. Like, to the sky. Like,
I was trying to come up with a joke. I was like, what does he do? What's a funny thing to say? I was like, hey, and I was like, no, nothing. Don't say anything.
So Neville reveals that it's the Room of Requirement, which I think is very cool. So as long as someone is inside of the room, they're safe. And Seamus, who, as advertised, is looking rough, explains how Neville mastered the Room of Requirement, how he figured out how to make it work exactly.
I love that he figured out, like, interdimensional space-time box room. Like, he's like, yeah. Neville figured it out.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Yeah.
What? This? He's been up to everything.
Mm-hmm. And then he's like super humble about
yeah.
it.
Yeah, he got buff, he's been tortured, he's saving kids, he's spray painting everywhere. Also, he figured out how time and space work.
Yeah.
Dear God, man.
He's like a huge come up from like, I know about plants and stuff, to be like, I know how to master this undetermined room that no one understands. So Neville says that he was in it for about a day and a half, and then he thought about how hungry he was, and then it opened up a tunnel to the Hogshead, which that's fantastic. That's super great. He says that food is the one thing that the room doesn't do, and Hermione butts in and says, yeah, that's because food is one of the five exceptions for Gant's Law of Transfiguration.
I think Ron says that.
Ron, okay. Ron says it. I assumed it was Hermione.
Because then everyone is like kind of shocked that he says it. I was like everyone just kind of like turns and be like, oh.
Right. But here's what I've been saying. Can they say this law? They said it like briefly in passing in like one of the classes when Hermione like answered part of it. And the way the book was written was like, Hermione said a bunch of dumb smart words about this thing. It's like, I want to know how it works. And they never explain it. But now we know you can't just make food
nowhere. I'm going to guess the laws are you can't make food. No good Slytherins.
That's a weird one.
That sounds about right.
The laws of the universe, I guess.
So Harry sees a bunch of familiar faces in the room. The Patils are there, Terry Boot is there, Lavender Brown is there, Michael Corner's there, Ernie McMillan is there. Thankfully, Zachariah Smith, not there. Ernie asks what they've been up to. They've been trying to keep up with all the rumors on Potter Watch. And before Harry can even answer, his scar hurts. And then we get to one of those Voldemort flash presence
spy cam moment.
Yeah.
So it's working out real well for him right now.
Yeah, so it goes into the Gaunt Shack. And I just like that they called it the Gaunt Shack because immediately I imagined Fred Schneider from the B-52s just like being like, FBSCF, ain't it time?
I was wondering if Fred Schneider was a Schneider. I didn't know, and I was like,
not you.
Schneider.
But maybe you are the descendant of Fred Schneider.
I don't think so.
Yeah, you don't have the same
manner. Also, like, descendant. Like, I'm pretty sure he's still alive. Yeah, I mean, like, obviously, I could still, like, obviously, like, it's not like he was around, like, the 17th century. Like, I was born in, like, probably, like, 57.
So they're in the Gaunt Shack, and there's another Voldemort scream, which I'm hoping is the infamous, like, nah! From the trailers that I know exist because of the internet. Harry is able to snap himself out of it, and he tries to explain to Hermione and Ron, without words, what has happened. I really want to see how he tried to do this. Like, do they have baseball coach signs? Like, does he know ASL? Yeah, does he do Morse code with Lumos a lot? Like, yeah. Or is it just, like, I imagine it being, like, really bad pantomiming where everyone else can tell what it is, where he's like... For everyone listening at home...
Excellent podcasting right there.
Or he's just staring at them, thinking like, oh, they've got it, they've got it. And they're just both like, what is he? He's hungry? What?
So Seamus asks, what's the plan? And Harry says, hold on, I gotta do something with Ron and Hermione first. And they just like go to the side. So everyone is very confused, rightfully so. Harry explains that they can't say what they have to do. They just, that there's just something important that we have to do and we can't tell you about it. And Neville is begging them, please, like, we want to help you. We're all here. We're all your friends. Just let us know what's up. They have to explain that Dumbledore left them a job. They wanted them to do it by themselves, not tell. And they kind of just go back and forth. But then Luna and Dean enter, saying that they got Neville's message. They were expecting that the squad's arrival meant that they were going to fight the Karrows and take over Hogwarts again. And Harry is trying to stop this. And Ron starts to try to help him out and explain things. But then Ginny comes in, which stakes have already been raised. Then Fred and George come in. Then Lee Jordan comes in. And like things are getting very spicy. Fred comes in and, wasting no time to supplant himself as the better twin, is like, Aberforth is getting a bit ratty, so he had to come through. What was the full quote?
He says, Aberforth's getting a bit ratty. He wants a kip, and his bar is turned into a railway station.
Do you know what a kip is? Do you know what a kip is?
Nope.
All right, we will turn to the ether of Dottie James, our UK correspondent. Please tell us what's up. You guys will all get the answer in like 4.5 months. But now we have to pause.
And now it is time for British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James.
A kip means to take a nap, have a little sleep. Apparently it originated from the Danish kip, which meant a hovel, which then translated into English as kip, which meant a brothel, which is associated with beds, and that's how we get kip today.
This has been British Quandaries with UK correspondent Dottie James.
Thank you, Dottie, so much. Wow! So informative. Really love having her as a part of the team. So Cho Chang is also here, which makes things a bit awkward. And she sits next to Michael Corner, which I think is very funny, because now Harry's ex and Ginny's ex are sitting next to each other. And I wonder if they know and are grumbling about stuff. I think it's a fun dynamic.
Oh, we missed the Dean Seamus reuniting.
Oh, where he like ran and hugged him because he's his best friend.
That was cute. I liked that. When you think about it, like Ron and Harry, there were 5 guys in that dorm. Mm-hmm. Ron and Harry were best friends. Dean and Seamus were best friends. So they've got like the same, in theory, same kind of like bond.
And then Neville's in the back studying the space-time continuum. One day.
He's like becoming useful.
Yeah. So Dean then right away says, well, we're fighting, aren't we? And apparently the message that Neville sent out to everyone is Harry is back and we're going to fight. Which is like that time when you send a text message about something, but you like didn't know the full plan. Or it's like, oh, hey, come to Gerald's house. And then Gerald's like, oh, I only have room for like 3 people. And you're like, oh no, I've texted 12 people that you're having a party. So
and Neville just called everyone.
Yeah, and Neville's like, everybody come out. So Ron asks Harry, hey, why can't these people help? Great move by Ron. He was like, why don't we just have them look for something old and not tell them what it is? Because let's be straight, Harry, we don't know what we're looking for or where we're looking for it. We just know that it's a thing in Hogwarts. Like, that's it, which is not a lot. So, like, smart move by Ron to be like, maybe we should crowdsource a bit.
They asked Harry what the plan was, and Harry was like, there is no plan. And then Fred pipes in and says, just going to make it up as we go along, are we? My favorite kind. And I was like, oh, yes.
Yeah, Fred's been doing a lot of improv classes in his time since graduating. So Hermione agrees with Ron, which might be the first time this has ever happened. And the fear that like brings Harry to go along with this is he fears becoming exactly like Dumbledore, with having some sort of secret and not giving people the full truth. He thinks back to what Aberforth said in the previous chapter. So he decides that they're going to do it.
Also with like this whole thing with Harry trying to decide whether or not to trust people brings up a huge theme that we've been talking about. Like, there's a lot of similarities between not only Harry and Dumbledore in this instance, but Harry and Voldemort. And Voldemort trusts nobody, and he's always insisting on operating alone.
Right.
But then at the same time where we're like, you know, don't want to be like Voldemort with this huge character flaw of not trusting other people. Mm-hmm. At the same time, in this book especially, we're bringing up again and again people who have trusted somebody and then it blown up in their face. James with Peter, Voldemort with Lucius and Bellatrix. Like, he actually trusted somebody for once and that like backfired on him. With Dumbledore right now, he's like, he trusted Snape and see how that turned out. So it's like this big conflict of, is this a character flaw, or do I just need to pick my people better?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and the other thing that Voldemort does that isn't great in terms of his team is like, when his teammates do bad things, he murders them, which yes. Like, I don't know how many Death Eaters he has, but like he killed like at least five two chapters ago, which seems like not great when you have limited numbers.
I imagine that more is like a room full of people. Like he killed a whole room of people.
Yeah, not
just because he was mad. He was just like,
So then the narrator has a great line which says, Fred and George, who had been cracking jokes to the benefit of those near them, fell silent, which I really love. Like, they're here, the stakes are very high, and they're still in the back being like, Harry, what a fucking nerd, this guy. What a loser. So Harry says that there's something that they need to find, and it'll help them overthrow Voldemort. It's at the school, and it may have belonged to Ravenclaw. He asks if anyone has come across such an object, and I am screaming at my book, like, Luna, please say something. Harry was not smart and didn't listen to you however many chapters ago when you talked about the diadem. So finally, she does pipe up an answer, and she says, well, there's her lost diadem. I told you about it, Harry. Don't you remember? Well, of course he doesn't remember. He's Harry Potter. Have you read the other books, Luna?
Yeah, she told him back at Shell Cottage when, like, Aunt Muriel's tiara came up, and she was like, oh, tiaras, let me talk about this headdress that my dad is making. It's like the diadem. And Harry's like, shut up.
Yeah, Ron and Harry are like, you dumb idiot.
I've got my own, like, issues to deal with, Luna, come on.
That's not something super important that we really need to pay attention to. So then Michael Corner loses all of his street cred because he says, yeah, but the lost diadem is lost, Luna. That's sort of the point. Like, fuck off, dude. Like, go home. We don't, like, go back, hang out with Percy and Zacharias. Like, go get lost. We don't need you here. Cho says that it was lost centuries ago. And Ron, on behalf of the reader, asks, what's a diadem? Which I had no idea either. I assume it's like some sort of like...
It's like the princess crown. It's like a tiara.
It's like a tiara.
Yeah, I'm imagining like tiara with like a big gem of sorts in the middle of it, but I don't know.
I think it's like a crown tiara, which come in all types.
I imagine it has like a blue stone, I would assume, for like Ravenclaw.
I would hope.
That's how I've always envisioned the diadem. Mm-hmm.
They said it looked like Aunt Muriel's a little bit. But okay. I don't know.
All right, well, sure, I'm glad Ron asked. Terry Boot does pipe up and says that it's a crown. It's supposed to have the ability to enchant the wearer with wisdom to make them like even smarter. And Luna starts to say, yes, and Daddy's Raxpert, and then Harry just cuts her off, and is like, okay, has anyone seen something like this? Like, before she goes into a whole diatribe, can we please, like, stay on track?
I cannot imagine being more stressed. Like, there's so much stuff happening, like, obviously, with the whole Horcrux hunt and whatnot. If you're like, okay, we gotta find something, it's been lost for centuries, it's quite good, apparently, and no one's found it, but, like, I guess the fate of the world depends on it. Like, I'd be like, oh, no. Oh, no. If it's not under the couch, I don't know what I'm going to do. Like, that's the stakes are so high on finding this one thing. It's like, it's lost in a castle.
I hope they just, like, the next chapter is just them running around saying, like, Accio Diadem, Accio Diadem, Accio Diadem, like, in every room of Hogwarts.
Yeah, they're like, nobody's found it for centuries, but we've got, like, 10 minutes.
Yeah, so, I think we've got a lot of people.
Heads together.
Also, make sure no one sees us in the hallway, please. So... Harry is now doubting it being a Horcrux at all, but Cho offers to bring Harry to the common room to show him what it's supposed to look like. And I was like, Ginny, you better go with him.
Yeah.
Or that ain't gonna happen. Not to.
That ain't gonna happen.
Then thankfully she pipes up and she's like, no, Luna, how about you go instead? Cho can hang back, which is very good.
And then Cho looks disappointed, which I was like, girl, what?
She was.
It's been like 2 years now.
She was scheming. She was trying to get the way in there. Harry's scar starts to hurt again, and he gets another flash present to Voldemort flying with Nagini wrapped around his neck, which is the ultimate power move. I've always imagined Nagini to be comically large. So yeah, the fact that Voldemort's just flying with it draped around him like the biggest boa scarf ever is just really good.
I imagine it's like wrapped around kind of like diagonally kind of situation, like gun bullets or something like that. Like one of those. Just kind of like, I've got my giant snake and the snake head just like out here like,
yeah.
In the breeze, enjoying it like a dog. Like a dog in a car just going like, in the room. It's a blast.
Just like,
yeah, where does the head end up when you, like, does he do the scarf tie thing where you, like, you fold it in half and then put it through, and like, then the neck like is just, like, here. Like, and I just, I want to, if this isn't in the movie, I'm going to turn it off. Like, I need to see this.
All right, live show, Mike, let's not let the ego get too big here just because this episode has a laugh track behind it. How about you take a bit of a breather because it's time for Wingardium Adridosa. Today's episode of Potterless is brought to you by Calm. Let's say hypothetically that you are performing a live podcast in front of hundreds of people, and you're a bit nervous because there were some last-minute audio issues that didn't present themselves until 15 minutes before you got on stage, and also you were trying to arrange a very elaborate introduction to the show that you also had to fix the day of because they wouldn't let you shoot off a confetti cannon. Well, what would keep you nice and calm during this time? The app Calm. Calm is the number one app for relaxation, for calming down, for getting nice sleep, whatever you need in your life to let you zen out a little bit. Calm is there for you. They have guided meditations, which if you have no idea how to meditate, like I had no idea what I was doing, don't worry. They tell you exactly what to do. They give you nice, simple, relaxing instructions for how to calm down and relax and get in the zone of the Zen. They also have sleep stories, which are basically bedtime stories for adults, but it's a lot healthier than watching Netflix until you fall asleep. It's a nice soothing track, and some of them are even narrated by Stephen Fry. Hey, I know him from the Harry Potter audiobooks. That's amazing. And for all you throne heads out there, there's some narrated by Jerome Flynn. I'm told he does something for Game of Thrones. But these sleep stories are great because sleep deficiency does serious damage, not just to your brain, but to your body, because people who don't get good rest are more prone to accidents, weight gain, depression, other bad things. So get that good, restful sleep with Calm. And as a Potterless listener, you can get 25% off a Calm premium subscription if you go to calm.com/potterless. That is calm.com/potterless to get 25% off a Calm premium subscription. Download the app, listen to it when everything is about to blow up in your face before you take the stage on the live show, and you will be totally fine with the world exploding in front of you. And now you'll hear words from a few sponsors who make it feasible for me to be a full-time podcaster. Some of these ads will be read by me, others of them won't. The ones that aren't are inserted locally, so if you live internationally, don't be surprised if you hear an ad in your country's native language. And once those ads are complete, we'll get back to this episode of Potterless.
This episode of Potterless is brought to you by Arena Club. Now, if you listen to this podcast, it should be no secret that I am both a sports nerd and more of a traditional nerd. And when you think of these two types of nerddom, there's one thing that links them together, and that is card collecting. Whether you are looking to buy, trade, sell, or display a card collection of sports cards or Pokemon cards, you should check out Arena Club. ArenaClub.com is the place where you can do all of these things. I have recently made a purchase on the marketplace. I got Lieutenant Surge's Raichu, which is my favorite Pokemon, and I didn't even know that there was a Lieutenant Surge version of the Raichu. So that is a card that I now have, and it's not just some digital thing. I can have this card physically mailed to me. So there's a bunch of cool stuff you can do with Arena Club, including their slab packs. If you have ever done any sort of card collecting, you know that ripping packs or repacks can be a zero transparency type of thing where you're just hoping you get some sort of cool card. But what's nice about the slab packs with Arena Club is that you have full transparency. You see what available cards are there, what your percentage of getting them is, what the gradings are. So it is not a complete black box. You're going into this knowing what cards you might get. And I've been using Arena Club and it's pretty cool. It's very easy for me to look up different cards. I can favorite them, see what I want. And then whenever I want them shipped to me, I can get them shipped to me. And then I'll have the physical versions of them. Right now, you can get 10% off your first purchase by going to arenaclub.com/potterless. Wow, that is a wild offer. 10% off a $400 slab pack is $40 right there. Anyways, that's arenaclub.com/potterless for 10% off your first purchase. So if you want to collect some cards or rip open some packs in a more transparent way, whether you're a sports nerd or a Pokemon nerd or all sorts of nerds like me, you can use Arena Club today.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
Thank you.
So he sees this, and Harry snaps out of it again. He's like, Voldemort's on the move. So this is when Harry agrees to go with Cho, and Ginny's like, no. Luna then takes him. Harry asks, how are we gonna get out? And Neville shows him a cupboard, and the cupboard is an exit that changes every day, which is good because then the people in the school don't know where they are. But it's bad because then the people using it also don't know where they are. So I wonder, like, I need to know the geography of Hogwarts, but I think it'd be really funny if, like, they're like, okay, as long as we don't end up in, like, the kitchen, which is on the complete worst floor or whatever, we'll be fine. And then they go through, and it's like, welcome to the kitchen. So they go into the cupboard, and I wrote in my notes, I'm gonna think this will be a bad location. But it actually turns out to be okay, because they go through, Harry takes out the Marauder's map and sees that they're on the fifth floor. They begin to creep about, and Luna is leading the way. They get to the door of the Ravenclaw common room, and there's an eagle on the outside. And the eagle, it doesn't just ask for a password, it asks which came first, the phoenix or the flame, which is like the wizard chicken or the egg question, I'm assuming. And then Luna asks Harry, like, what do you think? And Harry's like, what? Like, don't you just have to say a word? And she's like, oh no, you have to like do a whole thing. You wouldn't learn otherwise.
Like, this dude was in school for 6 years, had friends, a girlfriend that was a Ravenclaw, and this is the first time he hears about this.
Yeah.
Like, how is someone like, oh yeah, we gotta do a riddle?
And
no one mentioned that until this point.
I wanna know if all of the other doors are on brand. Like,
Slytherin makes you say a racial slur.
Yeah.
you just pick one.
Yeah, just gotta
you
pick
say
one.
It. And they're like, oh.
Welcome home.
And then Hufflepuff is just like, how was your day? And then she's like, oh, that sounds great, come on in. But so this is like, I can imagine if they're having like some late night, they're out of Hogsmeade, they're drinking a bunch of butterbeer, they come home drunk, and then it's like this question, it's like, I don't fucking know. Say, let me go home and sleep, please. Like,
I mean, based on this question though, and the way that Luna gets to the answer, which is almost immediate, I feel like it's the kind of answer that you get a bit better at as you become more intoxicated. You're like, well, what if it's just like a circle? You're like, oh yeah.
I like this whole scene of them walking through the castle, though, because we've talked about how Harry's been in school for 6 years and has learned nothing. But what he did learn was how to sneak around.
Yeah.
And so he's, like, very prepared for this moment. He's like, it's such high stakes, but he's very good at it, because this is all he's been doing for 6 years.
Yeah, it's Harry like, hasn't learned any other spell besides Expelliarmus, but I know how to sneak around the hallways.
He's like, I know who to avoid, I know what to avoid, I've got the map, I've got the cloak, good to go. Mm-hmm. He's like, primed for this.
So they start to think about what it is, and Harry's like, he asks what happens if we get it wrong, and it's like, oh, you just have to wait for someone to get it right. I love just how non-phased Luna is by the situation. She has, like, no concept of stakes. And Harry's like, Luna, we can't. Like, no one else is coming. We have to get this right. So Luna then comes at the answer very quickly and just says, I think the answer is that a circle has no beginning, which, like, that is very profound. And now I want to start saying that when people ask, like, what came first, the chicken or the egg? And I'll just be like, a circle has no beginning. And then I love that the eagle doesn't just open, it goes, well reasoned, and then the door opens. So they go to the statue, and Harry notices that the statue has like a carving of the diadem on it as well. He says it looks delicate, like a little serpent with tiny words etched into it. And he brings up that it looks similar to Aunt Muriel's. And then it has the quote, wit beyond measure is man's greatest treasure, which I've seen in like a million Twitter bios, which like don't. I'm sorry, like, I get if you're a Ravenclaw, but like, for me, that's like on par when you're like, you're slash avocado enthusiast. Like, don't, you can do better. Like, make a joke.
I have to change my Twitter bio.
So they like read this out loud, and then they hear a voice go, which makes you pretty skint, witless. And it's Electo Caro. And then she touches the dark mark. And then that's the end of the chapter. And by the way and how Potterless works, I don't read anymore. So I'm just like, I've been on a cliff for 3 days and it's pretty rough, but that's the end of chapter 29 and the end of this episode of Potterless. How do you guys feel? I'm very stressed.
Yes, I forgot that you didn't like you literally stop until the recording. Mm-hmm. So it's like, this is a rough one.
It was very bad.
It was a rough one to just like end on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I'm excited to go home tonight and read the rest of the next chapter with you.
Yeah, which I'll probably do too. But for this one, I was listening to the audiobook, and the audiobook, like they're individual files, but every now and then there's like a couple seconds before and after. Stephen Fry said this last sentence, and then there was like 12 seconds of audio, and I was just like, oh, that's it. Damn it. So that was the end, but
we got the return of Clumsy Harry. Mm-hmm. Caro jumps out of the darkness and he's like, ooh, and like falls off the statue.
Oh, I didn't miss that.
Like, he like slips and falls off, mm-hmm. and I'm like, oh, Clumsy Harry.
Yeah, so was Alecto in the room just like waiting, or did she apparate in?
I assume
you
that
can't
like
apparate in Hogwarts.
Oh, right, okay. So she was just camped out, like sitting like,
like in a swivel chair, ready to just turn around.
They also do mention that they like knock on the door, and it did make a lot of sound. So it's possible that like they were like around a corner, mm-hmm. like had to answer another riddle.
Yeah.
And then they got in.
There's two things I like about this. One, if Electo's already in the room, I imagine Electo like standing in the corner, and like they come in and it's just like, like waiting and be like, don't make a sound.
I gotta say my cool bad guy.
Like, don't look in the corner. And then I also love that they do the action movie trope, which you're just like, okay, I gotta say some sort of cool line. I hope they say something. And then like has a whole script of like, okay, if they read the Ravenclaw thing, say that makes you pretty skint witless. Yeah, that's good. That's really good. And then like has the script ready.
The two Caros are like workshopping it. They're like, okay, here's a couple things you had in that room. Here's what you should say, and you had in this room. Here's what you can say. We got a bunch. So like they send it to Voldemort. He's like, what do you think about these?
Please leave me alone. One of the Death Eaters is a copywriter. It's like, no, rephrase it. So that's all I've got. I don't know if you have any final thoughts to say about these chapters.
I like that it is the, like, we're getting, it's not like the cool moment where like the team's back together, mm-hmm. but like where it's just on the cusp of that. Like we see that like, oh, all of the major players, except for like the adults, are like at Hogwarts now. So like, it's about to break, and it is about to go buck wild.
Mm-hmm.
I was hoping that now that we've seen, because we've seen the Slytherin common room before, and obviously the Gryffindor common room, mm-hmm. and now we're like, oh, we see the Ravenclaw common room. As a Hufflepuff reading it, I was like, do we get to see the Hufflepuff common room at the end of this?
I just think it's a lot of like beanbag like? Chairs.
Yeah, it's like, beanbag chairs, like, couches, a lot of board games.
There's always a mini fridge that has like the right amount of soda in it.
Yeah.
It's just like a very chill place to like hang out with your friends.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, thank you both so much for taking the time to talk about Harry Potter with me. Everyone, give them a round of applause for talking it up, not giving spoilers. Very good. So we're going to do a very fun part of the show now, because we have about like 20, 25 minutes left in the space before I have to like leave and go to horse, which is very soon. So we're going to give one of the mics, like pass it out around the crowd. I don't know if you can help pass it around. That'd be super sweet. But yeah, if you guys have any questions, we'll do a little Q&A session. You guys please answer as well. It'd be super fun. We'll just do that until they kick us out and I have to leave. Just when you get the question, like say your name. If you have pronouns you want to go by, go with that. Say what house you're in. And as is now customary practice, if you are in Slytherin, please clarify whether or not you are racist. If you are racist, I won't field your question. So let's get started. Does anybody have a question? It can be about anything at all. You heard the live show before. I put it up like 2 weeks ago. It doesn't have to be Harry Potter related even. It can just be like, hey, what's up? Or just like fun fantasy stuff. Yeah.
Not spoiler related, but I'm curious, how much do you know about the Harry Potter musical that's on YouTube?
A Harry Potter musical?
Yes.
Okay, I know that it exists. I know that there are three. I know that they were like done in some sort of college. I think Darren Criss was in them, and he went on to do like Glee and some other stuff.
Mm-hmm. He just won an Emmy.
Oh, good for him.
Globe.
Congrats. I know that it's supposed to be very funny. I get a Twitter message about it every day, so I have incredibly high expectations for this thing. like ridiculously high expectations. I know that it's like not great in terms of the recording quality, because they're just like in a college, like on like a camcorder.
It's like 2008 YouTube. It's low video quality, for sure.
So I've heard that the second one is really good, or at least like I've heard a lot of people say they prefer the second one to all of them. I've heard that the third one's like the worst, which at least follows by the trivia standards. I don't really know like what it's about or anything. The only thing I do know is that the Hufflepuffs are good finders comes from that.
which you thought was from the books, which was pretty good. And then
I really tried to find it once.
Not a good finder. So, and then I think the other thing is that I think like people said I'm really gonna like Draco in it because I think he's like really sassy or moody or both. So that's all I really know. But I'll see. I've seen like some GIFs on Twitter about it, and I'm like, I don't know what the context of this is, but that's where I'm at right now. So yeah, thank you so much for your question. Also, we're giving out free shirts if you ask a question. So like incentive. Yeah, right here.
Saw her passing out the shirts.
Like, now I am quizzical.
So if you could.
Oh, what? Yeah, what's your name? Your name and house and everything.
Sam Hufflepuff.
Awesome, great, thank you so much.
A cat Ravenclaw slash avocado enthusiast.
Oh, no.
You're gonna get put on blast for that, man.
So if you could use magic to do like one mundane chore for the rest of your life, like what would it be?
Let's see, a mundane chore. I don't know if you guys have answers right away.
Picking up dog poop.
Oh.
No, you know what? That's not true. Throwing away the dog poop because it's much easier to just leave the bag by the front door instead of like walking around to the dumpster.
Yeah.
So like if I could just like float it over there.
Yeah.
That would be super great. Because it's muddy and then the dog's feet get muddy. It's like, oh, I don't want to do this.
I would always have my phone charged because it is always dead. It's just like, I'm always like, I need directions right now. 1%. Oh, my. So I'd always have my phone charged.
Yeah, I can relate with the dog poop thing because when I was in Seattle, I dog sat and I've never had any sort of pet. And this is the first time I had to like take care of a dog, which is very fun. Like you go on a walk and like the standard thing was like take the dog out, walk to the park, play fetch for a little bit, walk back. And usually Leah pooped on the way to the park and there's trash cans in the park. But then one time she pooped like post fetch. And then I was just like carrying this bag of like tied up dog poop and I was like, what do I do now? Thankfully, I found like a dumpster behind an apartment building. And I was like, there we go. So I get it. I think I would probably go with laundry just because I don't know what it is about the gods of laundry, but like I always run out of socks and underwear like exactly when it's a bad time. Like I'm always just like, okay, I just need to get through this week and like this day is really busy. I have no time to do laundry. Also, especially now living in New York where my apartment doesn't have a laundry machine in it and my building doesn't have a laundry machine in it. And then all of the laundromats near me have weird hours and like they close at 10, but like last wash is at 8:30, which is like, then why do you close? Lots of problems. I also like to line dry my clothes because they last longer. So that's a whole ordeal. So I have to carry a bag full of wet laundry down like 2 city blocks and up 4 flights of stairs. I know that laundry is like a boring answer, but now that I'm in New York, like laundry is like actually a big deal.
I'll go to your apartment 2 days after you've done laundry and your room is just stuff hanging off of every surface,
yeah.
Drying. And it's like,
well, because I have an IKEA rack with like all my shirts and stuff, but then obviously it doesn't have enough things, so I've got socks like all over. Like, I've put things on top of door frames and doorknobs and like all over the place. That's laundry is a whole procedure for me now. So that would be my answer. Thank you so much for your question. Anyone else? Yeah, here in the back. Yeah, we've got a couple of raised hands back there. While we're going over there, I want to give a huge shout out to my boy Jeffrey, who I met yesterday, who like made this wand himself. So thank you so much for making this. Especially because like the plan was to do a confetti cannon and then the people running this were like, could you please not? So then like Kelly and I went to the drawing board and we were like, streamers, they're easy to pick up. So yes, your question.
Happy birthday.
Thank you, I appreciate it. Thank you so much.
What is your
name and house, please?
Kevin Hufflepuff.
Awesome, great.
Why do you hate Cringe so much?
What do I hate who?
Cringe. The game Quidditch.
Quidditch. Oh, okay. I'll keep this brief so that I'm not your brother. I've talked about like the point system not making sense and all that, but I think like what it really boils down to in like the more profound answer is that the whole point of sports, and I'm a big fan of like sports teaching lessons and stuff, is a lot of sports, especially like basketball and soccer, they teach you that like you really can't do it by yourself. If anyone has watched LeBron James and the Cavaliers last year, like when your next best player is J.R. Smith, like you can't win. So the thing that I like about team sports is that it involves like working together and that everyone's on the same level playing field. Even if people are more skilled, no one is like intrinsically more important than everyone else. What it comes down to Quidditch is just that one person is more important than everybody else. And I get it for like a storytelling purpose and like what J.K. Rowling is doing, I understand. But just like as a sport, it feels weird to me that the combined efforts of 6 other people still ultimately doesn't matter because this one person has to catch the snitch. Like, you can't win without it. I like that Muggle Quidditch, like, real human beings that play it here fix it, and they do the thing where, like, you don't need the snitch, it doesn't end the game. So all you gotta do is remove that. I just don't, it makes me uncomfortable to have a sport where one person is, like, on a different status. I don't like that. And that's pretty much it for me, yeah. So thank you for your question.
Hi, I'm Stefan, I'm a Hufflepuff.
Thank you, Stefan. Good puff representation today.
I'm curious. You have a house in not Hogwarts or wherever.
Uh-huh.
What is your password lock?
Oh, that's good. Okay, so for House Huber, which I've talked about in the previous live show, I think because our house traits are like being clever and witty, I think that the password would be like the door or whatever would like say an insult or something mean to you, and then you have to have like a good comeback. I'm trying to think of like what would be like an insult that could be at you and then thrown at you. I'm trying to keep it like, I guess more PG, but this is the only thing that's coming to mind. It's like, oh, your hair looks rough. Why? It's like, oh, I was making out with your mom. It's like, all right, nice, come on in. and then the door is like a hand. So like, first off, talk to the hand, and then to get in, it goes like, nice, and then gives you a high five. And then it swings open and lets you in. And that would be my password. Thank you so much for the question. Anyone else? Yeah, over here, there's a bunch of hands. This is great.
My name is Bree, and I'm a non-racist Slytherin.
Good, yay, my favorite kind. Thank you.
I would just like to know how your birthday is so far.
Oh, my birthday. Well, it's been really good. Kelly picked out an amazing brunch place. You want to talk about the food at this place?
It was so good. we're giving like a huge shout out right now to, it was called Honey Milk. Yeah, it was so good. It's like a prefix thing where you get to pick a sweet and a savory and a drink, and I didn't even, when I was researching it, I just like didn't even read the full menu, just like all these words of really great things popped out at me, and I was like, yes, okay. Mm-hmm. So we went there early this morning.
Yeah, you had like a Rice Krispie and rhubarb French toast, yes. And then like a sweet potato hollandaise egg bake. And then yeah. I had it was like a crepe with like key lime and blueberries and like cheese. And
caramelized
then,
kiwis on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, like, okay. And then the other thing was like a biscuits and gravy situation, but like in one of those skillets. And then I had a hot chocolate and you had a coffee. And then as like when you're waiting, they just have like a coloring book. And it's all like things with puns to fill out. Yeah. So that was the start of the day, which was great.
Yeah.
Then there was an hour of us like learning that confetti cannon has been canceled. We need to do a backup. So it was going to Target, getting streamers and stuff, and then it was getting here and doing this. So yeah, thanks all for coming to my birthday party. It's been very good. And then I got to talk about Harry Potter with my two friends and give Eric a chance to redeem himself since I gave you the most boring chapters in the entire series. Eric was on for the first 8 chapters of the 5th book, which involve cleaning.
Yeah.
And cleaning.
Yeah. The only thing that happens is Dudley gets attacked by a Dementor, and it's not even that interesting.
Yeah, you can tell those chapters aren't interesting because there was 2 episodes of Potterless that covered 8 chapters, and this was 1 episode that covered 1 chapter.
I am very excited about that because you come up with a theory about something that happens.
Oh,
is said,
I did. Cool.
Yes, in that is going to be revealed in like 2 chapters, like the real important chapter. And and it's very good, and I'm very excited to like dunk on you getting this wrong like 2 years ago.
It's been a long time since I've had
like,
a really
you're like
bad.
I got it, and I was like, sure you do. Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's it. You figured it out.
So yeah. Oh, I'll have to see. Yeah, I totally missed on the locket too, so that's very true. Yeah, thank you so much for your question, really appreciate it. Anyone else? Yeah, over here in the hat, or anyone else, whoever's closest, just raise your hands, we'll get it. We're doing pretty good on time, actually.
I'm Madeline, I'm in Ravenclaw.
Okay, yay, all right, Ravenclaw.
My question is, who's your least favorite Harry Potter character?
My least favorite Harry Potter character? It's a real tough one, but it's gonna be Percy Weasley, like. Like, if only just, like, him being bad and the worst. He also, we learn a lot about him, and we learn nothing about Charlie. So I feel like if he just wasn't there, maybe we would know more about the cool Weasley. So I'm going to say Percy. I'm just not a fan. How about you two?
I would also say Percy. He's just not good. Like, there's just nothing particularly interesting about him. I'm trying to think of, like, another character that's, like, prominent in any way that's like not super likable.
I mean,
it isn't just like evil.
Umbridge and Voldemort, but
well,
like,
yeah, but like
Umbridge
they're evil.
Is
so,
so well,
like, obviously they're designed to be disliked.
Right. That's the thing with Umbridge is Umbridge is written like you hating Umbridge is the point. Being most evil and least favorite are different things for me. Like, I think Percy's just annoying and frustrating. Umbridge is frustrating on purpose and is like a really well-crafted villain because we all know an Umbridge in our lives. So, yeah. How about you?
I was going to say Umbridge, which, I mean, like, you know, she's the most evil, but she's also the most, like, relatable real-life evil, like you said. Like, you can point to a real-life Umbridge and be, I don't know. I get what you're saying.
Yeah.
We'll talk later.
Okay.
We'll talk when you're like, you know, in like 5 months when you're done with the books.
And I won't be that long. I'm going to do it. I get it. Awesome. Cool. Thank you so much for your question. Anyone else? Yeah.
Scott, definitely Hufflepuff.
Cool.
You are getting close to the end without revealing any specific plans or anything like that. Just say hypothetically, is there another series that you don't know anything about? Game of Thrones, Star Wars, whatever?
There are a ton of series that I don't know about, but I'm gonna stick with Harry Potter for a while. There's gonna be a lot of Harry Potter stuff that keep me going for a very long time. I don't know that I'm gonna just like keep doing series that I haven't been a part of, just because like I don't want my brand to be like, this guy didn't do stuff and then did. So I would like to like flex different creative juices. The one that like I am considering doing like maybe way later down the road would be Game of Thrones, just because I have like nothing for that. And also Godderless just like fits real well. And I think that would go by quicker because it's just a TV show rather than reading. That would be like the one thing, but I don't think I want to like brand myself as like that guy who missed stuff. So that's like the future plans. But yeah, everyone just listen to tomorrow's episode. It'll discuss at length my plan for post books, which will be a lot. So it's gonna be good. Thank you so much for your question. Yeah, up here in the front with the glasses and the cool necklace, which I think is a time turner.
Hi, my name is Brenda, and I am a Ravenclaw or Hufflepuff, depending on the day.
Fun, okay, good.
I have never listened to your podcast
before. Oh, cool, fun.
So I'm wondering where you would recommend I should start. What were some of your favorite arcs? What do you think was most fun to do?
Like where to start for the podcast? Episode zero. Like, go.
Well, I guess
I get that, like, other things have arcs and stuff, but, like, start from the beginning, because the thing that you get to experience through the podcast is not only me, you know, going through the whole series and everything, but like I start this series as grumpy guy that's like, these books are gonna be bad. And then once I get to the end of three, I'm like, I'm in love with these books. So you get to see the transition of a lot of things change. And I think that starting at the beginning, I think makes it more of a fun experience to see like how I've changed. And I think that that's a really fun thing too, is that the fandom of Harry Potter and the listeners of the podcast, people are really patient. Cause like you could have just had this thing where I'm like, oh, bleh, these books, what, they're whatever. But everyone was just like listening like, we'll see. Like he'll come around. So yeah, I think like part of the fun is start from the beginning. And like, it's not like going anywhere. So if it takes you a while, like you're good. So I'd say the beginning. Yeah, thank you so much for your question. Anyone else?
I think we have time for about one more.
Okay, cool. Yeah, we'll do one more question. Make it good.
Who has a really good one?
You do, you do. You're wearing a wizard on shirt, so I'm picking you up here, second row.
Hi, I'm Callahan, and according to Pottermore, I am a Gryffindor, but I definitely feel like a Hufflepuff.
Okay, well, today you're a Gryffindor because no one else is a Gryffindor yet, so. But also, thank you so much for the birthday gift that you gave me. It was very sweet, so
I'm glad
appreciate
you
that.
It. So, I kind of have two questions. One, what is your socks? Because they kind of look like Quidditch from here, and that's super off-brand if they are.
My socks are Wu-Tang Clan Protect Your Neck socks. they say Protect Your Neck Academy, and it's a lot of karate and dojo stuff. So not Harry Potter at all, but I would say that the Wu-Tang Clan are like wizards of rap. So I just thought they looked good with the purple pants. your next question.
Okay, so my actual question is, so you talk about like, I want this spinoff. What is your like number one, you need the spinoff? Like, I'd like to hear from all three of you.
Okay, yeah. The number one spinoff, I do think I really want to see, as I mentioned here, like I do really want to see what happened at the school while everyone was gone, because there's a couple different things that you get. You get like Neville becoming cool and a badass and like all what went down and like what the different classes were like. But a key thing is we're having a world where Snape is the headmaster and McGonagall is there. And like we had like sassy McGonagall replies to Umbridge. Imagine what she does to Snape. So I think that would be a really fun spinoff to see all of it and just like what went down while the squad was gone.
I want them all.
Which one? The most?
Either a Marauder's story or a McGonagall story. I want, like, McGonagall's past. Like, I want her right. life. I don't just want the Harry Potter books from her perspective. I want McGonagall's life. Is she married? Is her spouse at Hogwarts? Like, what was she like growing up? What were her parents like? I just want to know more.
Okay. Yeah. How about you, Eric?
I'm like a workplace comedy at the Ministry of Magic. just like the Office, but it's those guys that they like polyjuice into. Like that's like the season one finale. It's like they get knocked out by like Harry Potter writing, and then they're like, it's like, oh, that's happening now. That's what I want.
I think that's really good. So thank you so much for your question, and thank you all so much. We're gonna wrap it up here, but I gotta say thank you to Eric and Kelly for being here. Thank all of you for coming. Thanks, Listen Up, for having us, and everyone who put it together, everyone who's working this venue and doing the audio and all that sort of stuff. Thank you so much. I really appreciate everything. This has been super cool. Everyone's treated us really well. Thanks to the Sentinel for having us. Shauna, who's been running Listen Up, told me that they filmed parts of 50 Shades of Grey here, which I couldn't confirm online, but like is canon now. So
now it's on a podcast.
But there is like in the intro, it was mentioned that like there's some like creepy stuff here. I was in the green room, there's like creepy faces etched into the walls. It's one of those ceilings with the echo room. So like I definitely was in the Chamber of Secrets today. So thank you all so much. I will say that I have to like literally run to where horses, so I'm not gonna be able to like talk and stuff after. The horse show is from 3 to 4, and then at Beer O'Clock, which is a 5-minute walk from here, afterwards, it's just like a bar that's open. If you wanna come say hey and talk to me and all that kind of stuff, I'll be over there. So that's gonna be a super fun time. We'll be there. But yeah, thank you again all so much for listening. And as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, before they sprint across Portland to go to their next live show, Wizard On!
If you like Harry Potter jokes and stuff, you should follow Potterless on Twitter, because I make Harry Potter jokes a lot. All you gotta do is go to twitter.com/potterlesspod. I usually tweet about 3 to 4 times a day, so enough where you're getting good content, but not too much where you hate me. Potterless is created by Mick Schubert, it is hosted by Mick Schubert, it is edited by Mick Schubert, it is produced by Mick Schubert, as well as Leanne Davis, Vicky Garcia, Aaron Johnson, Jesse Horgan, Natalie Klobuchar, Klaus Serlotu, Frank Chiodo, Marchismo, Samantha Rose, Juan Sanfilio, Kieran Webb, Abita Med, Rosemary Dodge, Jill Boulay, Maria Lisa C. Keen, Romina Rivadeneira, Camille Dock, Russell Dunn, Dustin Roland Cooch, Audra Eleanor Curlin, Sydney Cawthorn, Billy Hinton, Rossanne Batamana, Nikita Power, Taylor Armstead, Ali Madsen, Amelia Krauss, Sean Montag, Sarah Nink, Ben Silver, Rachel Guthrie, Zachary Polito, Orchid Grower, Vivian the Owl, Takari Ron, Haley Hastings, Mr. Pinky Pan, Angelina Withard, Russ Marie Heise, Alex Bisholta, Brian Williams, Caitlin Sullivan, Mohsen Siddiqui, Grace Riggles, Raul Pineda, Ingen Odstadter, Mari Wynn, Brianne Wingate, Alexander Consulver, John Kotker, Jenna Juice, Noel Basile, Tao, Emily Tyrell, Robin Fernandez, Will Barrington, Liz Bigelow, Mariah Noah, Brandon Pickens, Sarah Enslin, Claire Spencer, Teal, Rory Collier, Gloria Gillum, Sarah and Patrick Donovan, AlliCat29, Hallie Bowen, Veronica Bartova, Kevin Harnoy, Lotta Bartova, Noah, Tracy Toya, Carlos Nino, Pam Webb, Colleen, Jennifer Mark, Lufrid, AJ Svensson, Ivor Peterson, Naomi Guglielmo, Tyler Latros, Summer Rathel, Heather Fleischman, Vera Cullitham, Carrie D. Bagason, Andrea Kroc, Elisa Grieven, Lynn Walker, Cameron Watkins, Justin Montero, Christine Saunders, Jacob Parrish, Toothless Walnut, Maya Gray, Mark Boddy, Polly Burge, Srujan Thanmegupta, Brittany Gutierrez, Nita Atabani, Tumnus Moran, Remy Fontaine, Mats Furley, Sarah Shecker, Nona VM, Zina Rosnowski, Emily Tilly, Colleen Mage, Harlan Haskins, Wouter Vandermaiden, Sheldarp, Noelia, Addy, Brian, Wash and Large, Jenny Campione, Nikki Harris, Kara Hamilton, Dorcas, Courtney Hemwood, Kine Roan, Amanda Alfred, Sabrina, Alicia McLaren, Kafir Shaltiel, Lindy Plackey, Martha Medueno, Benjamin Desmond, Tajinder Chumber, Skymart 6, Sarah Shedder, Peter Vostinek, Yash Patel, Marta Morrison, Stephanie Magnuson, Justine Wade, Aaron Richter, CJ Ochoco, Eileen Jesh, Kate L. Dobbs, Violet Sullivan, Hannah Suzanne Gormley, Kat Yowell, Lindsay Towning, Elizabeth Agathon, Fielding Lee, Stephanie Hoford, Keegan Curran, Miranda Manning, Adam Bryant, Jesus Aguilar, Christina Welton, Maya, Zachary Davis, Kieran, Ariel Rigdon, Heaven, and Can't I Potter? Web designed by Kelly Beckman, and the music is by Bettina Campomanes. If you want to find us on social media, you can find us at facebook.com/potterless, twitter.com/potterlesspod, instagram.com/potterlesspodcast, and reddit.com/r/potterless. All the information and fun stuff about the show lives at potterlesspodcast.com, and all of the bonus content can be found at patreon.com/potterless. Thank you so much for listening, and until next time, as they say in the wizarding world of Harry Potter, a wizard on!
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18+ terms and conditions apply. See website for details.